Why don't you tell... Do you really need to tell me right now? Or could you just explain it to me while we're on live? Okay? How about that?
Yes.
Oh. Oh. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's true. Oh, nice.
There.
Are you live?
Yes. Guess who had sound?
Me.
You did, yes. Guess who didn't have
sound?
You
didn't.
I didn't have sound. It's fine. That entire story is just you going, huh. You listening and saying,
hmm. Well, look. And anyone that can lip read of all our hundreds of thousands of viewers, they had known what we were saying, and yeah. They had caught my reactions to it. But for those that didn't, tough.
I am Ross. Joining me is my co-host Ian, and together, slightly late for St. Patrick's Day, but better late than never, we are attempting to drink Nova Scotia dry. The premise is, and if we've been doing this for 3 years, then this is our third St. Patrick's Day, which we've hopefully been doing the Irish Reds, but this time I decided we have to go full out because we had some light beer, some lagers in there. We're going to do green beer lager night.
Is that a thing?
What?
Green beer.
What?
Do they do this in pubs anywhere in the world that around Paddy's Day? Is this a thing or is it just something you've decided?
Of course it's a thing. Have you never been in a pub on St. Patrick's Day?
Oh, yeah. No, I have. But it's always Fiddly Diddly Dee and Guinness. I didn't know that people had green beer on St. Patrick's.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
I mean, not to... Okay, this is... It might get me in trouble. But,
Don't get yourself in trouble.
It's one of those cultural appropriation things, and it was invented by small-minded North Americans that just try to make anything as Irish as possible in order to pretend like they have some sort of ancestral culture. There.
Okay.
That's me getting that out of the way. But here's the other thing. When I was looking this up, because I've always poo-pooed the Irish St. Paddy's Day thing, because I don't have an iota of Irish lineage in me at all. Full-blooded Scottish. The Ancestry.com came back 98% Scottish. We're like 1% Irish, you know, 1% Irish, 1% British. So I was just super, super Scottish. So I looked it up.
Did you do that then? Did you do that thing where you send off for your ancestors?
Yes.
Oh, fascinating.
I did. Okay. It didn't make much difference, but there's an entirely other half of that story. But I did do a little bit of a different kind of in. Looking things up on the internet, but I did some research on the internet and I looked Scottish holidays. So one, on New Year's, I want to start doing First Foot. I want to start celebrating that.
And now I am familiar with that.
A traditional Scottish thing. And the other one is, so St. Patrick is the patron saint of the Irish, and that's why we have St. Patrick's Day, and so they do that silly thing. But I want to do St. Andrew's Day, which my mother is always telling me about, because he's the patron saint of the Scots, and that's November 30th, later in November, where we can do blue-dyed Scottish beer night. We'll try to make that a thing.
Oh, okay. Rebecca just said it's actually November 30th. And I guess the reason why she would know that was because it coincides with her birthday. So that's pretty cool.
Well,
I was reading something this week, just this week, Ross. Sorry to, I don't want to sort of get you off theme.
I was done, actually.
But good. Then that heritage thing you're talking about, having your heritage or your genetics checked up. Mm-hmm. I was reading only this week on online that there is a company are in pretty hot water. I don't know where they are. They might be in the States. I can't remember. They are one of these people that can check the pedigree of your dog, like using its blood, whatever. They can do all the genetics and stuff, and they're getting in hot water because someone trialed this and sent in their own blood, not the dog's, and they got it back from this company, and she found out that she was 40% Labrador, 20%, I don't know, pedigree, whatever. Completely, and of course the company are trying desperately to justify, oh, there must be some problem
with
the...
We're not lying and making this crap up about everybody. We're terrible, sorry.
must have been somehow contaminated. Whatever. Anyway, they're in hot water, but that just made me smile when you were talking about your heritage checking. That's not to say, of course, that you're not what you are, but you do wonder about companies that think, let's just do this.
Because no, that's true.
It's like buying. It's like buying a square foot of the moon, that kind of thing, or a satellite or something in space.
That's something I should probably get on, isn't it?
Yeah. You totally can do that now. You can totally do that. You can find out that you are part Labrador and you actually own a bit of the moon and bits of square foot in Scotland, that kind of stuff, if you really want to. If you want to give them all your money.
It's not St. Patrick's Day until you found out that you're part Labrador and own a square foot of the moon. That's just...
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's tis the season. Yeah. Several things I have just checked on and looked up. I was reminding myself of there is a little bit of a sad state of affairs that we need to go over. There are, in fact, two breweries recently announcing that they will be closing as soon as they run out of beer. One of which is our off-track brewery down in Bedford, which we haven't bought a lot of their beer, but we have enjoyed numerous beers by them. And the second one is the even smaller, the teeny tiny, the Harbor Brewing Company out of Muscadabit Harbor.
So yeah, I can't remember any of the Harbor Brewing ones. You probably remind me.
I don't think we got a chance to try any of those ones. It's just it was a one guy shop, and I think the taxes and everything, just the logistics behind just being a one man shop was probably a little bit too much for him. These things sadly happen. And the last thing is our first beer of the night from Route 19 Brewing. The Mutiny Lager is currently sold out and you can't get it. At least on the site. I'm not sure if you can see it in the LC. I suggested people pick it up in the LC, but if we do have... I did invite some friends to come and drink with us tonight. Sadly, I don't think anyone, many people, Kier wasn't able to make it, and a few others weren't able to make it, but Ananda, our good friend Ananda, did say he's hopefully going to join, and he'll be maybe 20 minutes late. So we'll find out from him what the situation is there. But Route 19 Brewing out of Inverness, Cape Breton, with Mutiny Lager coming in at 4.3% in a dark black can. Very ominous... can. It's very black, dark, and it's sort of like a washed out wooden logo on the front of the 19, sort of the standard 19 that's on the Route 19 cans.
I don't know why when I look at that can, it looks, like you said, kind of ominous looking. For some reason, it reminds me of the movie Saw. It's got that kind of font for some reason.
I don't think that's quite the mutiny they're going for. On the can, there's a huge story. There's less information on the website, but we'll go with the can. It's written in red on a black can, so we'll see how that goes. It does say it's a 20 IBU, so it's a little... That's not bad. So, lured to Louisbourg with the promise of a better life as a soldier, you find yourself shivering through a long winter, surviving on rotten food. Next door, others are living comfortably, enjoying roaring fires and hot meals. You want what they have, and you will stop at nothing to get it, including mutiny. This lager brings to life the history of the mutiny of 1744 and the many stories that go along with it. And on the website it says, brewed in collaboration with the Fortress of Louisbourg, this lager brings to life the history of the mutiny of 1744 and the many stories that go along with it. Brewed with German hops and crispy Kvik yeast, making it an immensely smooth and clean lager. Can I just say, I don't know
whatever you like
anything about the famous mutiny of 1744.
It can't be that famous.
Well, is it because it's French? Because if it's Louisbourg, then it's got to be French, right?
Guessing, yeah.
So can I tell you, here's what I did. I did a test run of the green dyed lager. So I poured it halfway up, and luckily it's got some pesky foam. I put 5 drops of green right on top of the pesky foam. It was very green, so I'm going to do 4 drops of green in the pesky foam. And then there it is. You can sort of see it like some sort of specimen on top. And then you pour the other half right onto that spot of green, And it does the job.
Oh. I guess we didn't really get much of a look at your original color before you turned it into bile.
True.
So I guess I should make comment of the color of before I go full on Irish, because I'm sure they do this in Ireland all the time with the beer.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. Very, very common Irish thing. It is a lovely gold.
Let's have a look here.
I thought it was a lovely golden color.
As I've never done this, Ross, and as you've just found out, I'm not taking the piss. I did not know that green beer was a thing. I just thought you were having a bit of fun
come up? I mean, it's not that you're a lecherous, you know, booze hunting pub hound or anything like that. Sorry if that.
No, but the thing is, I had a conversation with my family just this week on ye old WhatsApp app, and I was asking them. It's been such a long time since I've lived over in the UK. Now, I've been back four times, I guess now, in the sort of the last 16 years or so. But I did actually ask them, look, this is maybe my memory's going, whatever. I said, but I don't recall ever really getting into St. Patrick's Day as a thing in England at all when I was living there, obviously for a number of years. I lived in Germany, I lived in Belgium and those other places as well for sort of years at a time in Cyprus. But my question was to them, can you just qualify for this to me? Canada gets into St. Patrick's Day in a pretty big way, especially the Maritimes do. And Rebecca was saying, no, they do it across on the prairies, and it is a thing, especially where there are big sort of conurbations of the Irish. And of course, famously, big cities in the States, Boston, York, they go in because of the big Irish contingency there. And I said, look, refresh my memory. Is Paddy's Day really a thing in the UK? And my mum, who is Irish, well, she would have been prior to 1916.
are you out of the family now after asking this question?
I haven't just mapped myself off. She left Northern Ireland when she was like 17, 18 years old to escape the troubles, as they used to call it, in the late 60s. And anyway, she has lived in England since then. So she's been living there for 60 odd years. But she came back with England don't do it at all, never have, and Scotland not really. And she said they don't really do it much in Ireland either. Mm. And I was like thinking to myself, is it true? And my sister, bless her, that's lived in Belfast for the last 30 years, came back with, no, it's actually a thing. You know, there is a national day here, and the streets are stopped and cordoned off, and so that the Paddy's Day parades can go on So apparently it does happen in Ireland. But here's the weird thing, Ross. Here's the weird thing. As we found out, of course, Newfoundland, as we found out last week, the only province in this fair country that actually has a national holiday on it. But weirdly, I found out in the week that Argentina also has St. Patrick's Day on March the 17th, and they have a national holiday. So to literally a day off to celebrate.
And it's the same St. Patrick, or is there like a different one?
Do you think it would be a different one and just coincidentally have the same March the 17th?
Okay, well, if it's the same day, then it's obviously the same one. Oh, yeah, it's fine. I've been doing some research while you were talking.
Oh, good.
And
okay.
The tradition of drinking green beer didn't begin in Ireland. In fact, they hardly do it in Ireland. It was invented, invented. Hey, put some green food dye in the beer to celebrate Irish something.
Yeah.
Some doctor, a coroner's physician and eye surgeon, Dr. Thomas Curtin, created the first green beer in 1914 for a St. Patrick's Day celebration at the Schnurrer Club in the Bronx.
Oh, yeah.
A drop. But yeah, they, and this whole thing of don't use green dye, use blue dye, because the blue mixes with the yellow and it makes it more green. But I'm like, that's pretty freaking green right there. I don't know what you're talking about. Here's some other ones. That was pretty much all I found out. It is largely an American thing. Here's another weird, stupid St. Patrick's Day thing in Chicago. So it's, yeah, big in the big cities, especially, you know, so immigrants and large landings of Irish settlers. Mm-hmm. In Chicago, apparently, the Irish population has such a large section of the city. Not only do they dye their beer green for St. Patrick's Day to drink and celebrate, they dye the river green on St. Patrick's Day.
Wow.
It was actually a plot point in the movie The Fugitive, starring Harrison Ford and Tommy Lee Jones.
The food coloring they need for that must send the food coloring companies into exaltations.
I mean, yeah.
That movie you were just discussing, what did you say, The Fugitive?
Yes.
With Tommy Lee Jones? And,
yep.
Have you ever seen a movie with Tommy Lee Jones where he played an Irishman?
Yep.
Right. It was, it was early 90s, 94, 95. Was it? I forget what it was called.
I don't.
It was... Okay, please help me.
I love this movie. It's such a good movie. Jeff Bridges.
Yeah.
And the name of the movie is
Blown Away. It just came to me. Yes. Do you recall, I was actually watching that in the cinema, and he's got this amazing Irish accent, which is terrible. But the fact was, he at one point, he gets served, and I use the term very loosely, because as soon as I saw it, I thought, that's not a Guinness. He asks for a Guinness, and he's drinking this. He says, he's like, this is lovely old black stuff from Ireland. And it looks like grape juice. It is the worst pint of fake Guinness.
I don't remember that scene.
It was hilarious.
Have you ever seen, while we're still waiting for the pesky foam to lie down, there is a television series in the UK, or there was for a couple of years, and it was called Coupling?
Oh, I've heard it. Isn't it the copy version of Friends? Is that the one?
Yeah, well, that's how it was touted, but it was, three and three, and it was quite good. I thought it was rather good. But one of the characters, Patrick, who has gone on to be in, what was he in? He was in a season of The Crown, and he's also in one of the new Star Wars shows, I think. But so the character Patrick, when they were talking to it and they were putting it together, so instead of hanging out in a coffee shop, the sets of friends, they hang out in the pub. So the guys hang out in one pub and drink beer, and the ladies hang out in the wine bar and they drink wine. But when the men are in the pub, Patrick said, "Hey, could my character drink Guinness?" He said, because he knew he had been on sets before where they tried to recreate Guinness and make a fake Guinness, and he knew that they couldn't, that people had tried and failed. So the only way to get a Guinness is to actually pour a Guinness. So he said, "Could my character drink Guinness?" And they said, "Yeah, that's fine. And then he waited patiently and sat back, and they slowly served him Guinness after Guinness, like authentic Guinness after Guinness, while he's shooting. I just wanted to drink some Guinness.
Great idea, but I'm reading very recently that non-alcoholic Guinness is totally now a thing, and I'm looking online and people are saying it ain't bad. Now, you and I have tried. Your face tells me everything I need to know that you ain't gonna try. But I've tried a number of non-alcoholic beers recently, and I've tried stouts, and they smell similar to their alcohol equivalents, but when you try them, you're like, there's just something missing. But by all accounts, the Guinness, the non-alcoholic Guinness from Guinness, the company themselves, is pretty close to the original. So Mr. Patrick, you're talking about on Coupling, if he'd waited a few years, he probably could have had some non-alcoholic Guinness. Not only looks like it, but tastes pretty similar.
That probably would have caused him to be a little bit disappointed in his plan. Oh. But I'm wondering, do we need to have we discussed this before, a potential non-alcoholic low buzz? Because it is technically Nova Scotia craft beer. So are we not representing the low alcohol numbers as well?
Yeah.
That might be the ones that we are segregating against more so than any other style. My green beer is ready to be quaffed. How is yours?
Mine is still looking very amber. And I haven't added any bits to it because I've waffled so long. I haven't even opened my green, costing $3.99 from Sobeys this week, or $2.99, whatever, by advertising. And of course, Sobeys are green. Their logo is green. So I'm keeping everything green. I didn't go to Superstore for it, went to Sobeys. Let's see if this works because I've never done this either. I'm not a bake. I don't know how you open these things.
I've just proven it to you.
I need a professional.
It's gonna work. What is happening?
Oh, can I have a piece of kitchen towel, please? Because if this falls, then clearly this white shirt is done for.
And it's your Irish St. Patrick's Day shirt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's my Irish St. Patrick's Day shirt. How do you open these? I'm trying to screw it open, but it looks like it's a screwy thing. This is a potential stumbling block here, because I don't know how to open my food coloring. But carry on talking, Ross. I'm enjoying listening to you.
Well, I'm now looking up the Mutiny Lewisburg, December 1744. By Alan Greer. My dad has a friend named Alan Greer. Let's hope he's a different one. Late in December, a mutiny erupted in the fortress of Louisbourg, capital of the French colony of the Ile Royale. With only a few exceptions, all the soldiers in the garrison turned on their officers, threatening to kill them and ransack the town. Faced with such complete rebellion, the local authorities could only give in to the insurgents' demands. As a result, no blood was spilled, and the openly violent confrontation was short-lived. Nevertheless, this episode seems to be a noteworthy event in the military history of the 18th century French Empire. Okay. So it was quite a peaceful mutiny. How many drops are you putting in? I did four.
I'm putting in two, because I'm being advised to do two. I know you did four, Russ, but I'm going to go with the lady standing just off screen.
Well, who I want said, it to be proper two. Green.
One. Well, this might be a lighter shade of green.
Yeah,
there's
fair.
Two. And now let's stir that. Oh, bloody hell, that's green. That was only two. Ross, I think you've overdone it with your food colouring. Yours is a deeper shade of green.
Fine, I'll put two in the next one and we'll see what happens.
Okay. It looks really good. It looks like lime. I used to drink a drink. When I was about, I don't know, 12, I joined a youth soccer team.
You know, in England and in Ireland, we call it football.
I like the actual look of this, because it looks more like mouthwash. Yours is very dark green. And I used to drink something which was called a drink. This is not an alcoholic drink, I hasten to add. It was called Top Deck. And what it was...
Oh, I thought you were going to bring up lager and lime, because I think the reason this might not be a popular drink in the UK is because everyone says, well, now I just want a lager and lime.
It had the taste for a 12-year-old kid. This is why we liked it, because it looked and smelled a bit beerish, and it was a lager, and it was called Top Deck, and it was like when you cracked it from a going, and it had the look of a beer. You know, like when you was a kid and you had licorice cigarettes and things, and you were doing adult.
Yeah. Right.
Well, this was like drinking non-alcoholic beer as a kid, and it was like a shandy though. It was a Top Deck, and it was classed as a Top Deck shandy. It was 0.00001% alcohol by volume, but there was a lime version, and it looked exactly like this is where I was going with that.
It's probably going to taste a little different. Are we all set? We have waxed for at least 20 minutes now, but we're all set this time. Ready?
What, remind me, what's the name of this again? Route 19's Mutiny Lager.
Route 19's Mutiny Lager. To the French and the Irish.
Charles. Sante. Slange.
I forgot to mention, it had a right good smell to it.
It's got a right good flavor to it too. That's
do. Can I just say?
Wow.
It does say that it's made with the it's a Vienna lager, and it's made with the Kvik hops. Okay. Was it the Kvik something? Where's that at?
Kvik
yeast, sorry. The crispy Kvik yeast. It tastes a bit Germanic. It's got a little bit of that kind of that spicy bitter. Yeah. I really like that.
So do I. And that's a really tasty lager. I like European lagers much. I like mainland European lagers an awful lot more. They taste smoother. They are slightly... Oh, please don't take this wrong. They're slightly hoppier than the really crispy North American or Australian versions.
I mean, I love my golden flavor, that straw biscuity Toller gold, but you tell me it's a Vienna lager and I'm going to expect a bit of this, a little bit of that little nip, that little hint of, ooh, yes, a little biscuit of hop. Yours is looking less green than mine.
It is, but because I've pour the rest of it in there.
Yours that's where all the good sea monkeys were. Yeah, I had some thickness at in the bottom of the can.
I'm not sure I drink all my beer with green colouring in it, but it doesn't look terrible. It's quite attractive. I reckon...
It's thematic. It's just this thing that you're supposed to do one day of the year. No, I'm not adding green food colouring or blue food colouring to everything for the rest of my life, but it's a novelty.
I'm wondering, because of course the Irish, here comes an Irish joke, they'd probably try it with Guinness.
You might be able to get away with it. It would definitely, the head would be bright green, but it would be, it'd still be a very dark brown, nearly black treacle.
That is really fabulous. Oh. Like you say, it's definitely got a Germanic kind of smell to it. How do
Bavarian,
I
that, yeah.
But no, it's more in keeping with a German style lager or a Bavaria's lager, or a Czech lager, or I've tried several Slovak lagers down the years when I was living in yonder Belgium, and they do have this kind of taste to them, and they're far more distinctive.
I have good news. Oh. Our second beer, I'm not skipping. We're gonna talk more about this, but our second beer is a take on a traditional Vienna lager. And as we all know, Vienna is also in Europe.
Well done, Mr. Geography. I have questions, though, about the Wiener lager when we get to it. Save it for when we get to the Wiener lager.
I'm going to be disappointed if it doesn't taste like hot dogs.
No, it's nothing like that at all. I do have questions, though.
For everything that this is telling me that it is, where it says brewed with German hops and Quick yeast, immensely smooth.
Yes.
It's smooth.
Yes, it is.
But it also says it's a clean lager. What is a clean lager supposed to taste like? That
is clean synonymous with crisp.
Fine, but then you're trying to describe cold as a flavor. There are certain words synonymous with beer that I don't fully agree with, and even though we have described things as crisp before ourselves, mostly for a lack of any other defining feature, we're like, it's crisp, I guess. But this has got enough going for it that it's really playing absolute havoc with my green screen right now. You can't, anytime I hold it not in front of my face.
Of course it is. Crisp clearly isn't a flavor, but it's definitely a description when you're trying to describe a beer. I've used crisp before because I would find something that is describe any stouts as crisp.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure, or any porters as crisp, but there are some lagers and things that are, I think clean and crisp. I can get off on that, and it's very difficult to explain what that, the mouthfeel
for
that.
Yeah, I suppose
so. It's definitely more of a feel than a flavor. It's certainly a feel, and that is, I would say, pretty clean tasting.
Do you want like a lemon fresh kind of like what is clean gonna do? I'm gonna gloss over clean and go with German hops, Quick yeast, immensely smooth. Yes, very good, very smooth. Even with, it's just a hoppier, and I would call it Germanic / Bavarian, European style lager. But so very well done. Not an uninvited hoppy taste. It's just a pleasant little
Just enough hops in it. Just enough, whatever that is.
A wee nip.
Just a wee nip. But it's definitely a little bit of maltiness going on there. Can I say, Ross, sounding like a beer snob, it's very well balanced.
I agree. I hadn't quite parcelled together the little bit of the robust hop, robust malt-ishness at the front, which I would almost put as kind of that biscuity, grain, cereal kind of flavor. It's in that first mouthful where it's such kind of there, and then the rest of it is this nice European hop yeast kind of flavor for the rest of it, but it does all smooth all the whole way through. This is very excellent. This is a very, very tasty Eastern, or not Eastern. What am I talking about? European lager. If this was just, this is your basic American lager, I'd say, oh, no, you've got this all wrong. No, it's a little too much of a spice to it. No, you've done this wrong. But with the, you know, you've got a European flavor, then yeah.
It's really, really tasty. If you found this in America and they said this is a European style lager, I'd be all over this. And I'd say the name of it. Ross, while you rush off to your, you're going to do this on my behalf, to your amazing geeky graphs that you have and all your little pie charts and things about the various beers we've done. While you rush off there and find out what else we've tried from Route 19, because I can't think of one, I have to make an observation, a visual observation, which my mind is trying to figure out why. There is science behind this. I know there must be, but I can't figure it out. Everything that you display, hats, beers, all those weird things that are of green color in front of your green screen completely disappear. And yet, why are all the green parts of your sweater not completely invisible? What is the science that is happening here?
I have no idea. This is the official answer. I do have a little bit of an idea because, so, I have a green screen behind me, but when we're doing this type of meeting, this type of Teams meeting, it senses my silhouette and only removes things that should be behind me. So for example, you can see the stripe now on my shoulder, but if I raise my hands or if I lean forward a little bit, the green comes back because it's sensing the yellow around it. So it's not cutting out all green hue. This is just detecting that there's a solid color behind me. So where it gets confused is where there's no obvious barrier between the edge of the glass, the green glass, and this kind of thing. So I think there's green on the Nine Locks can, and even this it's having a hard time with, even though that's a white can. That makes no sense whatsoever to me. So I'm not using the green removal. I'm just using the basic Zoom meeting, just silhouette me and put the thing behind me.
You science the shit out of that, may I say so?
I think all I did was just bullshit my way through my fourth grade book report that I definitely did not read, is what I did just there.
You convinced me, rather like Bill Nye as the science guy, you are Ross, the science boss.
Now,
yep, I'll go with
it. In other science and nerdy news, I did look up, we have had one other Route 19. And it happened to be recently, just this past August, last summer, we, on our IPA night, we tried the 1497 IPA from Route 19. No,
1497,
I don't remember what it tasted like either. We apparently, that was the night that we had the pleasant disposition and the creature feature and the galaxy from Propeller. But I don't quite remember what we thought about the 1497.
The pleasant disposition was the standout of the four. Was quite delicious, very malty for an IPA. I remember that won us over big time.
No, it wasn't that one. It wasn't the pleasant disposition, it was the Malternate Reality. That was the one that won us over. So we didn't like the pleasant disposition either. I think that was the night that we had Patrick and Dan, and we didn't like any of them that night, other than the Galaxy. We thought the Galaxy was quite good.
The Malternate Reality, that was the big winner. It's by the same brewing company. Mm-hmm. That's why I was getting those mixed up. Yeah, they've got a similar.
I think they're both North Brewing on those ones. Yes. But we do have one Route 19
1497
under our belt, which I do not recall whatsoever. However, this one, well done, Route 19. Yeah. I am struggling to keep this not outstanding 10 out of 10, and I'm comfortable going as high as a 9.4.
Do you know what it reminds me of? And you, I'm sure you will say, yes, I can see that. You know what reminds me of? I'll let you guess.
Beer.
Green beer. it reminds me of Tola Gold.
Yep.
Yeah. Can you get it? Are you on board with that?
It's just got a little bit of that. It's like a European Toller Gold. If you
there we go.
If they made a Toller Europe. Toller Yerp. Y-E-R-P. They should make that.
It's very smooth, like the Toller Gold is. It's got a little hoppiness to it, but it's a little malty as well. And you introduced me to the Toller Gold, and it's been a winner ever since. You finished it, yeah, of course. You finished it. What did you do that for?
It was so good. Oops. So much for staunch professionalism. I go and drink my beer.
I like the look on your face. As soon as you finished it, you went, oh, damn, and you were... do you remember that time a little while ago where I realized during mid-swill that I was supposed to leave a little bit, so I kind of spat it back into the glass. Yes. So it mixed with some of my own enzymes.
Your own enzymes.
Wait a minute. It was all right.
It's not quite all right. I'm happy with a 9.4. Basically, I run up in the numbers in my head, and then when I finally think, nah, it's not quite that, then I go one down. So I sort of go, is it an 8.9? Yeah, it's a 9. It's a 9.1. Yeah, it's a 9.2, 9.3. And I got up to a 9.5, and I went, it's not quite a 9.5. So it's a 9.4. That's literally how I do this.
This is just a notch, a very small notch down from a Toller Gold. And I'm putting it in the same kind of mark. This is for a lager. You and I aren't massive lager fans. They're just a bit.
No.
Lagers are refreshing. And on a warm day, they can be quite delightful.
Yeah.
This is certainly among the best I've tried because it's got everything I want from a lager because I don't normally drink them. This is a solid 9 out of 10, mate. This is a really good beer. If someone walked around the bar and asked me if I want another one of these, as long as there wasn't a delicious stout on offer, I'd gladly take another pint of that and probably several more.
Oh yes, I fully agree. I'm getting massaged by one Ananda Kavanaugh as to whether we're still at it. And honestly, I mean, we're only halfway through. Well, we've just barely finished the first one, so this all depends on if he's able to get himself set up for the second one. But as we did you have a little piece left, or are you waiting? Is the only bit left what you're saving for comparison afterwards? All right, good. So we move on. From Nine Locks Brewing Company out of Dartmouth, Nova Scotia, we have Wiener Lager, but it is a Vienna lager. So I think they're going with the Wiener lager or Wiener lager. So I think it's just it's a funny little play on words, a funny little thing, but it's got La Cartoon of, and we did talk about Heritage Minutes, but this is yet another Canada's Film Institute. Some of the commercials that we'd see on television growing up, it has the log driver and he's on a hot dog, I'm now realizing. Instead of driving a proper log, like a lumberjack, down the river, he is not a log driver, he is a hot dog driver.
He's a wiener logger, man.
He's a wiener. He is literally a wiener logger, but the delightful cartoon. I'd have to ask them where they got the art for it. And on the side, it does say, Nine Locks Wiener Lager is our take on a traditional Vienna lager, also known as a Wiener Lager. This amber lager originates from Austria and has a soft, smooth maltiness, light bitterness, with a dry finish. The clean, bready, rich, and toasty malt flavor is followed by floral, spicy hop aroma. This sounds complicated. And I'm looking forward to I feel like we're spoiling it a bit with these with the green food dye, but luckily I happen to know the green food dye has no taste whatsoever.
No, not only does green food dye, none of them do. I guess that's the idea of it. You don't want your food tasting of food colouring. Ross, this is my main question. I said I had several questions about this, but I probably exaggerated. I actually only have one.
Okay.
When you messaged me, when you massaged me and said, we're going to do the Vienna Lager, Wiener Lager, Vienna Lager, whatever the hell you call it, I said, have we not done that before? And you came back with, apparently not. Because you looked through your records.
I thought you're
substantive. I remember having this conversation with you about the little chap on the front. Now, is it possible that I was only chatting with you about this chap on the front because I was actually drinking it at the time and said, we must do this one later on because we've talked about it. We even talked about and we had that very conversation you were talking about the heritage moments and this guy going, doing, he goes, so... We've had the conversation before, and Rebecca, who was here at the time as we were having that convo, maybe it was after one of our Ross and the Beer evenings where we hang about 5 or 10 minutes afterwards and have a chat, but we definitely brought that chap up because I was looking at the can at the time. But your records, I'm sure, because you are Mr. Stats, confirms that we haven't tried it together.
No, and so, I think you were trying it. And then you let me know that you were trying it, and I said, yes, we should get that. You tried it and bought some, I think it was almost on the same day I was going to the Liquor Commission, and I found it, and I said, oh, well, I have to try that. I think we both bought several cans.
Okay.
And I think that's where the conversation arose.
Maybe. Well, there is a big spoiler alert here. I'm not gonna pretend that this is my first can of Wiener Lager, which it certainly was at the Mutiny. I've had Wiener Lager several times already in the last few months. And that might tell you about how I feel about it.
I did have my second can a few months ago when it was the darks of winter and I was low on beer and I was just looking for a beverage in and of an evening. I recall not hating it. I don't really recall much else. It has a... There's a very sweet smell to it. And I'm not sure whether that has anything to do with the fact that this color that we're turning these beers reminds me of... Oh, and I don't know if Rebecca's going to remember this from a 1980s Halloween nights. You would get a rectangular lollipop that was this color, and it was an Incredible Hulk sucker.
She's shaking her head. No.
Shaking her head. Okay, maybe it was just me. Might have just been a me.
Maybe she's just too young.
Thing. Just too young. She's not too young to have gone trick or treating in the 80s. Right?
No, you're old.
Right? How old am I? Am I that old? In the 1970s.
Are you doing some Pet Shop Boys?
Because we were never being boring. We had too much time to find for ourselves. What a great song. We gotta play that one.
It's a wonderful song. It's a very good nostalgic song. This beer, by the way. Oh, Nanda's going to join us.
Yeah, you had a this beer, by the way, conversation going on. Oh, geez, this is going to completely wreck things.
This looks way more. There's a Nanda. Good to see you, buddy. Do you want to say hi before I carry on with the beer conversation?
Hello, I tried to say hi, but like a silly person, my mic was muted. So.
It's your first. It's your first rodeo.
Any vibes?
Oh, we gotta.
Ross.
Yes.
Ananda's already got it poured.
That's bad.
This is far more lagery looking to me. It's got a lovely head on it, by the way.
Oh, I forgot to look at it before I put the green in it again.
It's the same color as the ceiling. In Route 19's establishment.
You're right. I'm still in Route 19. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Everything's gone completely wrong. Where's...
So you guys have just served the 9 locks?
We've just served the 9 locks. We finished the Route 19. Did you manage to find both?
Well, that's actually perfect timing because I couldn't find the Route 19 and I did find the Wiener Lager, which is what is... Mm.
I looked up the Route 19 on Route 19's website, and it did say it's sold out. So, which is really unfortunate because it was quite delicious. It was.
So I guess you got to go there to get it.
Well, we did find it in the Liquor Commission before. Do you happen to have any green food dye? Are you joining us in a green beer for post Paddy's Day?
Let me see. I don't, do we have any green dye?
It's not liquid, it's gel, so it might not work.
It might not work.
You'll have to stir your beer.
I have to stir my beer, which is kind of...
Oh, so what I did and what we've been doing is you pour a little bit in and then you put some in the froth in the head of it and then you pour the rest in on top of that and that seems to do good things. Here's the question, and your jaw might drop when I repeat this question that Ian had earlier, and he said, is green beer a thing that people traditionally drink on St. Patrick's Day?
So I would be interested, like, to hear an Irishman's answer, and I bet he'd probably say Beckno or something like that. But
well, Matt, us as North Americans, we are the ones being questioned here because it's stupid pageantry, North American, you know, Kentucky Fried Chicken, plastic coated, whatnot, cultural appropriation stuff.
Self-deprecating about everything to do with, I don't know, if it's Scotia or Canada or Scotland or whatever. I can see people doing it on Halloween. I can totally see people putting food coloring into their beer on Halloween because it's got that kind of feel, but not St. Paddy's Day for some reason. I don't know.
It's always been such a thing at the local... You know, the terrible bars. The terrible local bars are always, well, you gotta have green beer on St. Paddy's Day.
Terrible Halifax bars, too.
Are you actually gonna
drink
that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, goodness. There you go.
There you go. Amanda, if you really want to be a traditionalist, if you want to be a real... Oh, there it is. I was going to say, perhaps Holly could drive around and get some food colouring from me. We'll wait 45 minutes until the start again. But you've got it. Great, you have some food
coloring. Oh, yeah, we got it. Got all the stuff.
Okay. All right. nasty.
It looks so nasty. Are you stirring yours? What's happened? Did it settle? That's more than two drops. You gave that more than two drops.
I did not, sir. I dropped two into it, but I'm going to pour the rest in now, so it will dilute it and make it less green.
Well, maybe.
That's science. Mr. Ross, science boss.
I added... Mine with two drops in it was nothing, so I think yours might be a little thicker. I'll have to go to Sobeys for my green beer next time. Anyway, ready for the cheers of the Vienna Lager. Oh, wait.
Looking forward to this.
Did we read what it was about? We did, didn't we?
Neither.
Oh, crap. Well, hang on. Where's the can description on here? Well, no, our take on a traditional Vienna Lager, which is a Vienna Lager. And it's, yeah, clean, bready, rich, toasty malt flavor, followed by floral, spicy hop aroma. We are waxing poetic so much tonight, I need to read the description twice. That's just terrible. Right. Well, anyway.
Yeah, you did. I'm sorry. You did say it.
We're also insulting the Irish even more by choosing it wrong.
Are you going to sing the whole the loggy song, or you do it afterwards?
Afterwards, I think. Ready? Charles.
Cheers. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I really, really like that. It comes flooding straight back. It's really, really nice.
It's a...
Well, see, ready. Before food coloring...
It's bready.
I don't think I noticed a difference.
You shouldn't. I don't think it should make a terrible difference, just for fun. I dyed a Toller Gold green just for the picture that we were going to use today, and I didn't find a huge difference, so I was kind of hoping that it wasn't going to be there. That is very smooth. It is a delightful tasting, but it's missing the zing.
That's funny. Even though I think it's quite lovely, it is definitely not as distinctive as the Route 19.
The Vienna Lager, is it? Not quite. And
yeah, it's perfectly lovely. I like it.
It got even mouthier, though. The problem is, had it just said, this is a basic lager, I'd say, yes, bang on, you nailed it. But they're saying, oh, it's okay. Bready rich, toasty malt flavor, followed by a floral, spicy hop. I'm getting 0% of any of that. I think they talked it up too much on the can, and it's a little disappointing. Despite the fact that it's a perfectly good lager.
Yeah, I'm getting the breadiness. The spicy floral ending is lost on me, but it's certainly a little more bready than the other one. And we both, you especially, Ross, I think, I really like a bready, yeasty beer. And I do. I do too. This is definitely a little more bready than the Mutiny Lager, but it doesn't have that thing going on at the back that they say. I'm searching for it, but I can't find it.
Yeah, mine's got a bit more of an uncomfortable yeast flavor that doesn't mix in well. Because you mentioned yourself, the other one, the Mutiny, was very well mixed. It was so smooth, but this one has a bit of a my flavor's over there, my flavor's over, and you're kind of catching it one piece at a time.
Okay.
Maybe just me. Ananda?
Yeah, I think, it's a perfectly adequate lager. I would go along with the breadiness, the toastiness. But, yeah, I'm not really picking up on a whole lot beyond that. Maybe, a bit of fruitiness and sort of the aftertaste and mouthfeel. There's certainly, a bit of a sort of, maybe a citrus peel note to it that I get in the finish. So maybe that's what they're referring to with that floral aftertaste. But it's just sort of a simple, unpretentious beer.
Yeah, I think it's coming at a bit of a disadvantage after the first one that we tried. Because the first one, it really did hit the mark as a German, wait, what was it? Yeah, it was German style.
Lager? Yeah, for sure. It uses the fake hops.
That was the one. Yeah. But the Wiener Lager, it does come in as a 5.2, whereas the Route 19 was a 4.3. So the 4.3, that is your crushable lager right there. You could have two or three of those. But the 5.2 is a little bit more up in the Canadian beer territory, as I like to call it. Once you pass that 5.0, you leave the Americans crying into their soup.
And most UK beers, I might add, Ross. Canadian beers, maybe they breed them big up here and hardy. But you know what? You do have typically stronger ales that you, for some reason, go onto a session with. And fours and four and a halves are plenty strong enough if you're going on a session.
It's cold, damp, and miserable up here. What can I tell you? I have no problem with these strong beers. I'm all up for it. But the funny thing is they're all named after things over in the UK where, like you say, your Guinness is, have a hearty Guinness. What's the percentage on that? 4.3. Yeah. 4.5?
4.2. That's right. The imported version, I think, is actually 0.2% stronger than it is in its country of birth. Weirdly, I don't know why that would be. Maybe it's because they like it stronger across the northern the Americans and the Canadians the strong stuff. Us paddies will stick, but the Irish will go, we are going to have 20 of them this evening, whereas the Americans are probably going to have three and fall on their ass.
Well, they'll drink one and just say, that's filling. No, thank you. Hand me a Miller Lite, please.
Yeah.
That's as much flavor as I require. I do like this. I think it deserves some high marks. It's not going to be as high as the other one.
I think Ananda just finished it. Did you see that man's mouth open and just went whoop, and it was gone? It was like a basking shark.
Well, he hasn't had a full pint of the other one first. So, but also, he's getting home from a hard day's work, so
it's
time for a good pint to Ananda, get in there.
I'm just admiring that is a full on hirsute. Facial beard you're wearing there. Does it disappear once the warmer weather turns up, or is this now you?
No, I think I'm going to shave my head and just leave the beard alone.
you travel in between. You try different things. Sometimes in the summer you're more of a clean shaven, and I'm fully on board with a good winter beard, because the few times, mostly for theater, when I had to have nothing on the face, and you walk outside in a Nova Scotia winter, and I think.
And scarf.
It's built in. It's wonderful. So yeah, an insulating winter beard. I have no problem with.
I do have to commit. I decide to shave halfway through the summer. That my face is kind of two toned because I have where I'm tanned up here and then covered by the beard. just shade of fish.
Well, it could be worse because you could, if you were out on like the winter, the lobster boats and getting the salt spray and everything, and then you could, and you could shave and you'd have this lovely baby smooth skin and this absolute dragon scale nonsense up here of the wash and the, and the, and the sun and everything. And you just, oh, I've seen that look, and good on them, but holy cow, that's a funny dichotomy on your face.
I'm always impressed by, every time I see a certain Liam Patterson, I think, does he have like like beard wigs that he adorns himself with? Is that, because the man, I might see him once every sort of month or 6 weeks, and I think, does this man grow the fastest beard in the world ever? Because at one moment he looks like you do, Ananda, and then I see him maybe a couple of weeks later, and he's got this kind of, you know, a little bit of stubble going on, and then like a month later, he's got a full foot-length beard.
Ananda there is definitely in second place. Second place for fastest growing beard, because he can go from, oh, I'm clean-shaven, and then you see him 2 weeks later, and he looks like this.
He's got 5 o'clock shadow one day, and then he's got a foot long.
You and I, Ian, you know, this is a good month's growth right here. it goes nowhere fast.
Yeah.
I trim mine when I start feeling like I'm really homeless, but
yeah, unfortunately, my neck does the same thing. So it's
yes.
Ooh, body hair, always a good time.
I would. I like this beer. Mm. I really do. It's a lager, and like I just said earlier, I'm not a big lager drinker. Mm. I like this one. But I, unfortunately, like you said, it's suffering a bit because this one is totally crushable, the Mutiny, because it's 4.3%. It's so full of flavor, and it's so therefore... That is your session ale.
Oh, yes.
Right there.
Which is sold out. You can't get it anymore, which is a little disappointing. Hey, everyone, rush out and get this beer you can't get anymore. Always seems to be our recommendations.
Josie wants to be...
They do brew it, though, do they not? They're not like saying, yeah, we don't brew it anymore. It's just sold out. That might be a story.
It says sold out, so maybe it is a shelving thing. I mean, it's that's an email for good old Route 19. I'll send our correspondence up to Cape Breton and find out what the story is. But regardless,
can you do this?
Did I? What?
Can you do the song? Because I don't know it. I've seen it. Rebecca showed me it on a year or two back, and because I'd never seen this cute little heritage moment, and then she sent me, and I'm like, yeah, I guess it. Apparently, it's been going since what is it? The late 60s or early 70s or something.
Probably
I don't know. It's been
something
going
like that. Yeah, it's quite old. Now, yeah. I've so, had my chances with all sorts of men, but none as so fine as my lad on the river. If he asks, if he asks me again, I think I will marry the log driver, for he goes burling down and down like water. That's where the log driver learns to step lightly, is burling down and down like water. The log driver's waltz leaves the pleases girls completely. That's the one.
Wow, that's a bit risky. It's a bit racy for a
the
heritage
log,
moment.
The log driver's waltz pleases girls. He can dance well because he walks across all the floating log. And so the video, you must watch the video several hundred times to really gain this, because the smooth or the nature of the animation is this leaping, this incredibly, incredibly graceful man with the flowing Ananda's beard coming out the back as he just sort of steps lightly across a couple of them, and he's just sort of dancing like a gazelle across snow-capped peaks.
So at no point is there any double entendre to the whole point of having a log driver pleasing all the ladies. There's no double entendre.
Get your mind out of the gutter. This is a cartoon for children.
Have you seen The Big Lebowski? I'm sure you have.
That is a completely different media entity.
Right, fair enough. Okay. Because, I don't know, I'm from across the pond. You may have noticed by my accent. But my slightly cynical mind thinks, I'm pretty sure that the writers of that beautiful heritage moment must have, they must have been thinking, maybe we can get away with this. I don't know.
For the parish around. Yeah, there we go. I am trying to, okay, let's find this. Log Driver Waltz, the Wakami Whalers? What? Canada Troubadour Doug Who? Okay, there we go. Wikipedia, I found it. It's a Canadian folk song written by Wade Hemsworth. Yep. It was a Canadian. It was also a Canadian animated film, but it doesn't say when it was. Wait, the 1979 animated short. But when was the song written? Was it written for the short? Film information.
Well, what's that? Something about famous? What was that?
I'm clicking on Albert Wade Hemsworth.
Okay.
Personal discography. Folk songs of the Canadian North Woods, 1955. Yes.
Apparently he's connected to the McGarrigle sisters, Rebecca's telling me. She knows stuff, you know.
Oh, there are certainly many, many people have covered this song.
Okay.
Oh, the spring log drive on the Duliev River. He released his first album, Folk Songs of the Canadian North Woods, in 1956. This might be an old song. Well, who sang? Oh, there we go. The band's, in the early 1960s, most of his songs were being sung by the Mountain City Four, a legendary folk ensemble that featured the teenaged Kate and Anna McGarrigle. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
The band's rendition, that's the band renditions of the Log Driver's Waltz with the McGarrigles on vocals, became famous as a soundtrack in 1979. So in the early 60s is when the song was recorded by a different band. I need to find out more about Wade Hemsworth. We're learning all sorts of Canadian delightful stuff. We dye our beer green and we write log driving songs.
Yeah, you do.
It's white enough that I could definitely dye it.
What do we think of Nine Locks beers in general?
I reluctantly like the Dirty Blonde, despite the fact that they use it as kind of a slightly misogynistic advertising campaign, but it's a delicious beer, and it is very good.
They don't miss, they've hit every mark for me. They don't deviate, Rebecca. What are you saying?
They don't deviate.
They don't deviate. In what way? In what way? Oh, you mean they're always consistently good? Oh, good.
Look at how pristine and clean their facilities are in behind me here.
Yeah, didn't they win the IPA competition we had a while back?
They kind of did. They have one of the best IPAs we've had.
The IPA. I think the only way I'm going to criticize them, and this is not even a criticism, but it's the only way I can criticize them, is that clearly, they're monopolizing all the shelves on the NSLC because they love them so much.
They have a large section.
All their brews.
Yeah.
Yes. And it stops the little Route 19s or the two that you mentioned earlier on that are sadly in demise from representing themselves in the liquor store because clearly the liquor stores are thinking, we need Garrisons, we need Propellers, and Nine Locks are now getting themselves into that kind of territory that they are now kind of ruling the roost, and it's a shame for the little guys. Nine Locks are no longer little players. They are big league.
This is all assumption. And when I get the chance to talk to the NSLC representative, we're going to find the answers to this. But yes, it could just be that they pay more to get
maybe
more shelf space. And I
think this distribution problem, right? Like if they're producing at a much smaller capacity, they don't have the inventory to keep up with.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like you said, there's a certain scale that you need to be able to operate at.
Have you compared your swish, your final swish of Nine Locks with your Route 19? Do you have your Route 19 still?
I do, sir.
All right.
They're both looking very similar. This one, the one on the right, is looking a little more green than the one on the left. I will say that. They're very distinctive in their greenness.
The other one was a bit hazier. It had a little bit more in the can.
Yeah. I'm going back to my Route 19 then. I'm going to take half a swig before I drink a little more of the wiener juice. Just bear with me a second here. Oh, Ross, it's...
I know. I'm so sad that I didn't save some. It's so good.
It is. And I picked up, because of that, I've picked up on something else. It's quite sweet.
There was a little tiny little bit of caramelly like sweetness, some kind of thing.
Yeah,
there
really is. There is. It's quite a sweet little thing. I'm going to finish. I'll tell you what, I want to finish on the sweetness. So, hey, Ananda, it's a shame I didn't see you for longer. Great to see you, though. I'm going to finish my Vina Lager and then move on to finish my Route 19, which is a quite clear winner for me, in fact. Mm. Even though I knew what I was letting myself in for with the Vina Lager, which I really like. But it's a 7.5 if it's a lager.
I'm going up to an 8.9 for it. I think it's still pretty good. An 8.9 for the Vina Lager.
Good. It's very... In fact, it's probably... Who used the term crisp? Route 19 did,
didn't
they?
Route 19 called it, yeah.
Right. I would say the Vienna Lager is a crisper version, but the Route 19 is far more distinctive to me, a little more malty, a little hoppy in there. It's really balanced, and it wins quite handsomely.
It do. It's true. Donato, what was your... did you have a numerical guesstimation for the nine locks?
Yeah, I'd rate it a solid, you know, 8.5. I mean, lagers are not my favorite beer, so
it's drinkable though.
But it's very drinkable.
Yeah. Well, and I don't even have any water. But in order to get ourselves out of here, I want to thank everyone for joining us tonight. Thank you, Ananda, for coming in and joining us on our final beer and getting the green dye in there for Irish Paddy's Day as best as we could. And to Nine Locks and to Route 19 for making a delicious beer. But you can check out the podcast. It's available on all podcasty places. The website, drinkns.unsupervised.beer. You can check out the YouTube page, youtube.com/@drinknsdrive, where we're live every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. So thanks to everyone for stopping by, and have an awesome night.